What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now. What's up, guys? Josh Nussbaum here. You're watching and listening to Inside Out Empowerment. I'm here with my boy, Marius Heislitz.
Something like that.
He is Litz, spelled with a Z. Marius is a good homie of mine, and prior to an introduction, I actually am going to let him do most of the talking here because he's a person that inspires me. He's a little fucking stud muffin, and you'll see why. Basically, he just got back from Atlanta,
yeah.
He's playing professional soccer for those overseas people. They're not in the U.S. It's called football. They call it soccer. I don't want to hear or see in the comments that that's not the proper way to approach it. It is what it is at this point. So, Marius, you and I spoke. I want to, first of all, welcome back.
Thanks, doggy.
Good to see you. See your face. You and I spoke last, not last, as in the last time we spoke, but when we spoke last about, like, starting your career and hardcore deviating. I'm like tripping out partly because of how fucking fast time is going. I feel like we're in a little bit of it's been a whirlwind the past, like, how long? It's been 10 months?
Yeah, so almost, like, a year.
Yeah, so we were playing golf.
The charity event I met you at.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were talking about, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to let you talk me through this one, but he was a studly soccer player in college, and a very talented athlete, and had deviated for one reason or another. And when we were first connecting, he was talking about, like, potentially re-sparking his career. Since that point, he's like gained a shit ton of success, being just a fucking monster with the amount of ground he's covered in the past year. Why don't you tell this a little bit of the story of, like, where you were a year ago? And then catch us up through present, because there's pieces of the story that I'm not even updated on, and I want to be. So you were how old?
21.
You were 21.
21. So let's see, May 1st today. So about a year ago in May, summer approaching, I was running races competitively. 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons, and I was doing well. In the midst of that, I was just another guy working at another restaurant out here in San Diego. Had a good group of friends, still do. Wasn't really doing a whole lot. And I cruised out to...
You're working two jobs, I met you, right?
Actually, well, I had just started a job at a sales office.
Okay.
So I was working 8 to 5, recruiting, sales, phone, all day long, dial, hang up, you know.
I've worked a couple of those.
Hardcore commission.
I think everybody should go through at least one.
Cold, like, call for the
hard
first
2 knocks,
weeks.
Fucking, like, yeah. Smashing the phone, like, dialing for
if
dollars.
You're not dialing, you're wasting time.
Yeah.
So I was doing that from 8 to 5, and then from whenever I got done there, I'd leave early at 4:30 sometimes and have to show up at 7:30 to get my 8 hours in. I would leave there and go straight to a restaurant and would bartend and wait tables until 10 o'clock. Then I'd get off work and go to the gym or go for a run down Coast Highway to stay in shape for the races.
There's worse places to run.
Yeah.
I love that fucking run.
A well-illuminated Coast Highway at 10 o'clock is probably the best place to clear your head after a long day.
Yeah. So I don't even know if you know this. I used to run marathons.
Really?
Yeah. Prior to my, like, bodybuilding days, I was actually, like, a long distance dude.
And then you gave up and just started lifting weights.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? Like, I would way rather be absurdly jacked. I ran my first marathon, actually, because my stepmother was, like, an avid. She had run, like, 18 marathons in her life or some shit. She actually got cancer. And I was recording a lot of stuff for her at the time because I had 3 younger siblings that – there was a lot she wasn't going to get to say. And the oldest of them was 8. You know what I mean? So there's, like, what can you say to a 2-year-old or a 4-year-old, right? And one of the things that she said that she regretted is that, like, she never was able to spark my interest in running. Mm-hmm. And we were never able to run a marathon. So I had never ran a day in my life, and told her it was like 8 months before the Rock and Roll Marathon back in 2000.
That's the one I did last summer.
Dope. Yeah. That's a fucking fun race.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
Cruising down Sixth Avenue into the finish line.
Yes.
Thousands of people screaming for you.
Yes. Yeah, dude. And there's like fucking bands every mile.
That's an adrenaline.
Totally. I will remember that feeling for forever. But I told her, I'm like, I'll run the Rock and Roll Marathon in June. And she's like, that's cute, honey. Like, it's 26.2 miles. I was like, fuck, that's how long a marathon is.
It's a long way.
But it was a really dope experience. And it, like, you know, 18, 19 years old, like, sparked my interest in like long distance running. Obviously there's a community, but there's less of a community for running than there is for fitness.
Yeah. Bodybuilding is huge, especially nowadays. I mean, mm-hmm. It's all over.
Mm-hmm. So, but that's cool. I didn't know that you ran the Rock and Roll Marathon.
Yeah.
That's really dope. So, okay. So you were doing distance runs.
Running long distance, going to actually I wasn't even going to the gym. I didn't belong to any gym for the first time in my life since I was like 15.
Okay.
I was literally just running races, just running on my own. And I was enjoying myself, but there was still something missing. Like you had mentioned, you know, I'd played in college and growing up, and we'll get into that. But at that time that I had met you, I had just gotten back from a trip to Chicago.
Okay.
One of my best friends, Daniel Johnson, growing up.
What's up, Daniel?
Shout out, Daniel. Answer my calls when I call you, by the way.
It gets harder and harder as they get bigger and bigger, I promise.
He means well. He was in his first year at the Chicago Fire, a very, very well-respected team. In the MLS, they've been around forever. And
Major League Soccer, for all you internet nerds that follow me for the tutorial parts, it's a professional league here in the United States.
He had played 2 years at Louisville, 2 years at Maryland, and gotten drafted in the first round, I think the number 11 pick overall, you know, had a contract with Under Armour, was, you know, making good money playing for Chicago, just living that professional lifestyle. And he flew me out there, took care of me for, you know, 4 or 5 days over the weekend, got to see a game, mm-hmm. got to experience the Chicago nightlife and saw some cool things.
Cool city, right?
It was great, man. But like,
what time of year did you go?
During Lollapalooza in August.
Okay.
So like we had
hot, muggy.
Yeah.
But fun.
We had a blast. And it was just like that trip kind of just re-sparked the passion that I had lost for soccer.
So when were you last talking to your boy, Daniel, prior to like seeing him play professional soccer? When were you two connected?
I think the last time I had checked in with him in like January to let him know that I had January of 2017 is when I started running competitively.
Okay.
And I had told him like, hey man, like I'm doing these races, and he was really happy for me. But prior to that, maybe a year.
Okay.
Or so, we had just fallen out of touch after I stopped playing.
And so, and when did he sign to?
He signed in January of 2017.
Got it. Okay. So you hadn't really been
a year before he signed. I hadn't really. I said, hey, congrats, and that was the first time in a year.
Got it.
Talked to him.
Got it. Okay. So you went out and you're like, holy shit, this is the life that like playing professional soccer.
Yeah, and got to meet all his teammates and just go through that whole process and you know see the you know. Just living a great life, and I was a little bit jealous, you know, and that wasn't the life that I was living. Not that the life in San Diego that I had at the time wasn't great, which it is, and it was, but there was still something missing, mm-hmm. you know, having played a sport and given your whole life to it, and then now it's not a part of you anymore. It's kind of like a piece being taken away. So I got back. We played in that charity event.
Which, by the way, did you know that I won that driver?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
It broke yesterday.
You broke it?
I didn't even fucking break it. I didn't even know it was broken. I'm like, hey, this doesn't feel right. And they're like, yeah, dude, your fucking shaft.
It was like super stiff and like for long drives. And
that's what she said.
Man, she said it wrong because that thing wasn't supposed to break.
I know, bro. But yes, it fucking, I was like devastated. I'm like, dude, this is so sick. You remember we bought those tickets like on that hole with the dude?
Yeah.
He's like, this guy was like doing trick shots off one of the tees. He was like hitting his golf clubs like upside down and like
lefty.
Yeah.
He had a little mini putter that he hit 300 yards.
Yeah. I made like, as if I don't feel bad and frustrated enough with my golf game, this guy who's like a pro is like out there and just like punking the shit out of us.
It was
like
a cool experience.
It was fun. Yeah.
He did back the course up though. And I was frustrated with the speed of play.
So yeah, we were playing and you had or had not talked to Daniel yet?
I had just gotten back.
You'd just gotten
like
back.
It was literally a week later.
Because you were itching.
Yeah.
You were like, I remember we were talking and you were like thinking about confronting, going like the undertaking of like, fuck, I need to be playing soccer.
Yeah. And actually what was kind of something out of my hands that happened on that trip was not only did I see him play and get that motivation and that little bit of like positive jealousy, was that his dad, who's well connected in the soccer world, and his agent were there as well in town at the same time. We all went to eat after a deep dish pizza restaurant in Chicago late at night. And I was just kind of like out of it, you know, kind of feeling sorry for myself and not, you know, happy for my friend. And his agent comes up to me and he goes, "Hey man, like, you know, Steve and Daniel tell me that you used to play, you know, at a high level, you know, when you were younger and in college, and now you don't play anymore. Like, what's up with that?" And I was like, "Man, I just, you know, I kind of moved away from the game and moved out to California, and I'm, you know, just running and staying in shape now and working a couple jobs." And he goes, "Well, what's stopping you from trying? You know, what's holding you back?" And I, that moment, I kind of sat there in that booth eating my pizza, and I was like, "I don't fucking know. I really don't fucking know."
Yeah, you didn't have a good answer. I love when life gives you those, and like internally it makes a lot of sense.
I wanted to make something up or him a fuck you excuse, and literally,
like, you know what? Three of my parents got cancer and I'm taking care of them now. But
parents are healthy and I only have one mom and dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense.
Like socks.
Yeah. No, I get you.
They come together.
Yeah. I've always.
Not always.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
I hope your parents don't listen to my show.
No, they might now.
Yeah.
But maybe just this one. But I got back and, you know, I didn't have an answer for him. And I got back and I called him and he said, "Look, man, I have connections in England. I have connections in the United States. Like, if you want to play and you're as good as, you know, Daniel and Steve tell me you used to be, then like get yourself in shape and I'll send you overseas or I'll send you to a team and we'll get you playing again."
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, what's the worst that could happen? Like, I give it my best. And if I don't make it, I'll be right back where I am right now, working two jobs and running races and going, you know, doing whatever.
Well, yeah, look, dude, like now looking backwards after it's like, oh, got a contract with this team, wanted to play in an even fucking like more prime spot. So you like went to a different fucking group and walk for all intents and purposes. It's like when you don't try on or try out for a team and you walk on in college, it like, it's what it reminds me of, where you're just like, let me go dig up an opportunity out of my ass and like just say, yes, I want to go play soccer. And then you can go play professional soccer wherever the fuck you want. Right? So, that's abnormal. But I remember at the time, Marius, you were like, it's way easy looking back now that this is a success story. But at the time, like, nobody wants affirmation that they're no longer good enough.
Yeah.
Like, is it?
I had a lot of fear.
Does anything actually happen bad? Not necessarily, but you lose the ability to be like, I was good enough. I could have played at that level if you tried and had failed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it makes sense that, like, I remember at the time there was a lot of like consternation. There was a lot of like, your guts were a little chewed up, like facing it. Cause you're like, do I want to attempt at this and potentially not be good enough or not as good as I was or whatever, and risk that being confirmed that I'm not good
enough
now.
That was the biggest fear for me. And it was like, it was a fear of failing. Because no one wants to fail and no one wants to find out they weren't good enough or that that person didn't like them or that job didn't want them, you know, it was like, or that they didn't fit in. It was like, I knew I had been good enough at one point and had veered off the road and took a different life process.
How long did you take off from?
2.5 years.
So that's like, I don't know if it's like dog years or what, but that could be a lifetime. Like, that's like way and more than enough time to rust.
Things were getting faster and harder, and the level of play was only improving while I was out. So I come back to San Diego. We play in the charity event, and my head's kind of all over the place. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know anybody on the West Coast because I grew up on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any coaches or teams out here. I have one pair of cleats and one pair of gloves that I haven't touched in 2.5 years that are rotting in my closet.
Yeah.
Like, where do I even start? So I called my dad and I told him, you know, hey, this is what I want to do. And, you know, he's always been supportive. You know, he said, well, let's see if we can find a coach. And so I got on my computer one day. I literally just went to Google and I typed in soccer teams in San Diego.
How hard have I been saying, dude, you don't know how to fucking do something? Google that shit.
Seriously.
I don't know is not a valid excuse.
Google.
He wants to play professional soccer. And he Googles it. Like, motherfuckers saying I don't know how to use Photoshop or don't know how to do something, Google it. You can you want to be a pro athlete, Google it.
Yeah. And
you should have some skills too, I think.
But like, right.
You know.
I was good at networking and business development because of my recruiting job, which I quit as soon as I got back from Chicago because I knew that I couldn't work 8 to 5 and train full time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was a little bit
of a leap of faith.
That was a big decision, and that was a lot of income. That it was more money than I was making at the restaurant, you know? So I had to take a little bit of, you know, a step back and budget and make things work. So I got on Google and I literally typed in professional soccer teams in San Diego.
Yeah, yeah.
And like the first thing that popped up was the San Diego Soccers, which as some of you viewers might know that are local here in California, it's like the professional indoor team and they play at the casino down here. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't
trying to... They used to call it the sports arena.
The sports arena, that's right. And I wasn't trying to play indoor. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always played outdoor. That's just, you know, the biggest league is outdoor. Mm-hmm. Indoor is kind of...
Just get drunk with your friends in college and buy $4 tickets to a pro game.
Yeah, yeah. That's indoor. It's like minor league hockey.
Right, which I love also. Great. I had season tickets
lots
to
of fights.
The San Diego Goals growing
Goals
up.
Are fun,
yeah,
but it's not what I want to do for a living.
It's not the Kings.
Exactly. So I'm on Google and I find this team called Albion, the shirt that I'm wearing here, which we're now called ASC San Diego. We're San Diego's number one team here.
You skipped a couple points. You're saying we. There's like a couple logical gaps there. You tried out for the team?
Well, I am now on the team, but I was not at the time.
Yeah.
I researched the team, and I didn't contact anybody on the professional side. I contacted the goalkeeping coach for the youth program.
Okay.
They have a youth
it's a fucking dope
academy story. And the professional. And I contacted the youth goalie coach and said, do you do private sessions? Do you do, you know, one-on-one goalkeeper sessions? And how much do those cost? And I got with him. Actually, before I even contacted him, I got my fat friend Jake. And it's a thing. He knows he's fat. I'm not, you know, making fun of fat people.
Yeah, or anything, your fat friend Jake.
My fat friend Jake, who never played soccer ever, who just believed in me because he loves the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves FIFA, for all you FIFA players out there.
Uh-huh.
I said, hey, man. None of our friends know soccer. Can you train me? And so we went to the Carlsbad Elementary School at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon every day, right after they got out of school. And I got some traffic cones off the side of the road and I bought a couple of balls at Walmart and we would train like I had never trained in my life. My friend who's never played soccer before was throwing me balls and I was teaching him how to kick it and volley it out of the air and off the ground. And I'm constantly yelling at him, telling him, you got to put the ball here and you got to put the ball there. And he's just like frustrated because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, but you needed someone.
I just needed something because as a goalie, that's my position. I play goalkeeper. Like I need someone to shoot or I need someone to kick or just throw the ball or something. I can't do it on my own. It's quite difficult to train yourself.
Right.
And so before I even contacted that team or that coach, for a good month of like all of September and almost October, we would go every single day in the blazing heat and just he would train me. And it was like learning how to breathe again, learning how to walk. Like,
right. Yeah, because you hadn't fucking done shit in 2 years.
I hadn't laced up boots in 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So after I got a little bit of fitness back, I called my friend's agent that I met in Chicago and I said, hey man, like I'm getting in shape, but you know, I'm still not ready. Like I think maybe if I get involved with the team and play some games again, I'll be ready, you know, in a few more months. So the plan still at this time was always to go overseas, to go with this agent and to like get him to send me to England because of my background that I have, that I've been there before and have a European passport. And turns out that wasn't the case. I get in contact with this coach here at Albion. And he's like, hey, man, well, you know, the pro team has a tryout coming up at the end of the year. So now it's about October 2017. I've been training for about 2 months. And I was like, okay. So I'm going with him 2 times a week, paying him like 50 or 60 bucks for a session that I'm working my ass off at the restaurant at night, training in the morning so I can have some extra money to pay this guy to train me. And then I'm going to the gym. I signed up for the gym again. I started doing workouts that I remembered from college on my own, just grinding, you know, still running here and there, but not really competitively anymore because soccer is a completely different type of fitness than long distance.
Yeah.
So at this point now, it's November, and I've been training with this coach for about a month. And every time I see him, I'm like, hey, you know, do you ever see the professional coach at practice? Do you know when these tryouts are going to be? And he's like, man, I don't know. And I was like, okay.
And mind you guys, this whole thing started less than 1 year ago. Like the start of this story is less than a year ago. So like this to present, and then we'll accelerate to like the benchmarks of like what actually what, like, how did you take the plunge? Because, mm-hmm. like, a lot has changed. This is a little bit of the backstory, but the whole thing from, like, start to finish has been a year. Maybe a little bit less.
Less, yeah, a little bit. So I've been training now with my fat friend and with this with this youth team goalie coach.
Very glamorous. A youth team goalie coach and your fat friend.
He's a U14, U13 coach, uh-huh. and my fat friend who plays FIFA, who doesn't uh-huh. know anything about soccer.
Yep.
That's who's training me to go pro.
And what got you here was Googling San Diego professional soccer. That's how I met. To try to put you in the position to maybe have a worthwhile conversation with somebody.
So I go to practice every day, and I work hard, and I train, and I gym, and I run, and eat right, and work, and finally, one day, the coach tells me, hey, the tryouts are the end of December. And I'm like, geez, finally I get a chance to prove myself. After 4 months ago, Googling the name of this team, now they're finally having open tryouts. So I pay my registration fee, I show up, I get my t-shirt, and they throw us right into like 11v11 scrimmage.
Yeah, go scrimmage, yeah.
Right away. And there's, you know, a few guys that are there from the team. They're a third-year pro team. They started in 2016. This is their third season that we're in. And they just throw me in. I played probably 150 minutes just straight.
Jesus. Like,
we played a bunch of 30-minute periods, and I just played the whole time. I probably had like 20 saves. I took 100 goal kicks. I gave up like 5 goals because we played for so long, and they were hammering me. But I played well, and it was really, really good to be back on the field.
That had to feel good.
With some other people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not just me and goalie coach and fat guy and my buddy Jake. And they said, okay, you know, well, if you get an email from us, we're going to have a mini camp the first or second week of January. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like calling my buddy in Chicago. Dude, I just think I made this team, this tryout. And I'm talking to you. And at this point now I'm like,
were you with Rev Labs yet?
This is pre-Rev Labs, almost Rev Labs.
Okay.
And I'm like, you're like, whoa, man, that's cool. Like, if you go pro, we'd love to have a professional athletes. All of our ambassadors are all bodybuilders and, you know, power lifters. Mm-hmm. We don't have any really, like, soccer or football.
We have MMA guys, too, but, yeah, no soccer.
No team sport-related stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, man, I'd love to represent your brand. You know, that'd be awesome. And I'd already been, you know, getting some stuff from you, some pre-workout and some mm-hmm. samples, and mm-hmm. I was, you know, loving the stuff, and I'd love to do it, you know, full time. So
just fast forward to the fucking super cool stuff. So
January,
I love this story,
January rolls around, yeah. And this is where still things are out of my hands, out of my control. There's another team starting in San Diego called 1904 FC.
Okay.
And they're
FC
gonna,
is football club.
Football club. They're going to be in the second division, and our team is going to be in like the third or fourth division.
Okay.
In the pyramid of professional soccer in the U.S. I call 1904. I tell him, hey, look, I've been training. You know, I used to play.
You got your chops back. You're like, a little bit.
But my resume is dry as fuck.
Yeah.
I haven't been on a team or been mm-hmm. anybody.
You look dusty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you.
And they're like, you know what? They had a tryout, an invite-only tryout that one of my coaches had made a reference for me. And they called me back and they said, you're not of pertinent presence to us at this time. And I remember those words specifically. And that was a hard pill to swallow that I wasn't even invited
to try out. Yeah.
I couldn't even get an interview for the interview. Mm-hmm. And so I swallowed it and I went to...
Let me guess, you quit?
No.
You didn't quit?
I took it as a part of the process.
Yeah.
That team wasn't for me. And I went to that mini camp and I made that team. And we entered into preseason and
Albion,
ASC, yeah. San Diego.
ASC. So what is a mini camp for those of us like me?
Mini camp is like... You show up, you train twice a day. It's like a two-a-day thing, kind of like a summer camp. You know, like you get to know the players, you have lunch together or whatever.
And then they kind of invite you to stay or invite you.
And then you kind of weed out the week throughout that week and see who's here to stay and who's, you know, not going to make it.
Understood.
So okay. I made that team. There was like 6 goalies to start. And we currently have 2. So I kind of made my way into that position. Right as preseason started, late January, turns out that team, 1904, that turned me down, had joined a league that had been shut down, and that they aren't even a team this year.
Wow.
They don't have any coaches or any players. The only thing that they have is development for a stadium being built in Oceanside, and they won't play till 2019.
Wow. Well, I'm glad that you weren't pertinent, Mark.
I just, right? I wasn't of their presence. And and they said no, and I was let down. And then it turned out that that wasn't the team for me.
Dude, Steve Jobs said, you'll have good things happen to you and you'll have bad things happen to you. But you should never be so presumptuous or cavalier as to presume that you know which ones are which until long after that event is over. And it was, felt like a bad thing.
It's beautiful. It was such a blessing because I was like, that team wasn't for me. I'm so glad that I, because the problem was, is the tryout was that weekend and so was the mini camp. Mm-hmm. So I was going to have to tell this coach.
You were going to choose. You had to choose.
You know, hey, I've been training with goalie coach. You know, you guys have been in contact about me. You kind of know about me. Now you've seen me play. But, hey, I can't make it because of personal reasons and personal reasons where there was a better team.
For another team.
Well, they told me no, so I went here.
I love it.
And made the team.
God's
so,
having your back a little bit.
Right. So fast forward, I get through preseason. I beat out their goalkeeper who had been the starter for the last 2 years, took his starting spot. We played our first game, I think it was March 24th, against Arizona FC. They won the conference last year, and that was our opening game at home. We play in PB off of Mission Bay Drive. And we tied that game 3-3, and then the very next day I flew to Atlanta. And why did I fly to Atlanta? Because also out of my control, out of my hands, since I had decided to get off my ass and try to play soccer again, since I decided to be persistent and do some networking and just give it a shot and look up this team.
And swallow your pride because you go from being like a star motherfucker in college, like pulling chicks, getting fucking like, you know, you're partying and you're like a popular, highly successful athlete in college to being like, who the fuck is this guy? Should we give him the time of day?
Exactly.
And one group decided no, right? Where you're having to sit there, bottom of the barrel, being like, let me prove who I am and that I deserve a shot.
Yeah.
And you had that even that was like a rung up from where you were because nobody was beating down your door being like, come out.
No one knew who I was.
Right.
And no one really, frankly, gave a fuck who I was.
Yeah.
Because they had their guys and they didn't need me.
Right.
So I had to.
They didn't know they needed you anyway. So, okay. Atlanta, because I haven't even gotten this update. I've gotten like little bits of it because the motherfucker's been so goddamn busy touring or whatever the fuck you guys call it, traveling with the team.
So
what happened? Why'd you go to Atlanta?
Since I had started playing professionally, signed my first contract in February or March, gotten picked up by Rev Labs, by you guys, gotten picked up by Puma. I'm a Puma athlete and I wear Puma, you know, cleats and gloves and whatever.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's awesome. Very, very nice to me.
Dope. Actually, I did know that. I think you did tell me.
Since I had worked so hard to get all that and get back on the map, my old coach from high school calls me up like the week before my first professional game against Arizona. And he says, hey, he's an English guy. I'm going to do an English accent.
Do it. Wait, where in England, you know?
He played for Newcastle.
Newcastle.
So okay. I don't have it that thick. But
all right. I want to be able to judge.
He goes, hey, mate, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, well, I'm not going to do the accent.
Come on, do it. Now there's too much pressure. That was Australian. We're going to try that again. So he's from Newcastle.
I can't do it.
But he's from Newcastle. What did he say?
He just called me up and he's like, look, I heard that you
doesn't sound like someone from Newcastle.
I can't even understand what you're saying. He's like, I heard you were playing again. I've seen some pictures online and I've talked to some people and we just had our number three goalie here in Atlanta go down with an injury. Do you want to come and play with the MLS team for however long in the foreseeable future that he's injured for? It could be 2 weeks, it could be a month, it could be two, it could be permanent, just depends on the situation. Are you, and this is, you know, he's basically asking me, are you willing to give up your life, your apartment, your car, your team, everything that I had here to go back to where I grew up?
Right before your first
professional game. Right before my first professional game.
Being like, yo, you want to play for like, the biggest and best in the world.
They're currently number one in the United States. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. I literally,
you're like, I don't even know.
I can't believe I'm talking to you on the phone right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me call you back. He goes, yeah, take your time. He called me maybe Thursday. He said, call me back Tuesday. So I talked to my coach that weekend and, you know, he's like, well.
Yeah. What did your existing coach? He was gambling on you being like, yeah, come aboard.
He first kind of hit me with, you know, and I was thinking this too, because I take myself very seriously and I'm very hard headed, you know, and he's like, I don't know if you're ready, you know, like, because I hadn't played in a game. I had been training my ass off,
yeah,
but it's much different as a goalkeeper seeing different things, you know, like You're not just training. You're on the big field in the big stage.
No, you need spatial intelligence. It's the same as like a quarterback.
Those high pressure situations, like crosses and 1v1s. And he goes, I think, you know, you have potential, but I don't know if you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I called my buddy in Chicago who's been helping me through all of this. And I called all my other friends and all my guys and my buddies and my network here in San Diego. And everyone was telling me, like, go for it. So I called my coach back on Tuesday and I say, hey, coach, you know, our first game is this Saturday. You know, it's my first professional game against the champions of the conference last year. I burned my starting spot. I don't know if I can go. He goes, you want my honest opinion? I said, sure. He's like, you would be fucking retarded to say no to this opportunity.
Yeah.
They have a $70 million training facility, the new stadium, $1.4 billion, you know, multi-purpose Mercedes-Benz Superdome with arguably the best team in the nation right now. And I'd be training with the first choice U.S. men's national team goalkeeper, Brad Guzan. And I just, you're right. Let's go. Book the ticket that night.
Yeah.
And I flew out Sunday morning.
Yeah. That whole process, I think, was like,
it was that same fear.
A blink of an eye. It was that very similar to the original decision that you were making.
Am I good enough to play for this team?
Yeah.
What if I don't make it? You know, like,
yeah,
just like I said before, the worst thing that could happen is I'm right back where I was when I started.
Plus a little bit of public embarrassment, but yeah, you don't lose any, you know.
So I head out there, and like I said, Atlanta's where I grew up, and my parents live there. I have a lot of friends that live there, or used to have friends that live there. Lost touch with almost everyone except for a few people, but I'm back in that environment, and I show up to my first day of training, and they walk me around these massive, massive training ground facilities, just like gym and sauna, hot tub, ice bath, you know, bikes and weights and full cafeteria.
I'm going like, dude, you got to document this shit. This makes for amazing vlog content. And he's like, bro, I'm trying not to just fucking shit the bed, get off my dick. Like, yeah, I'm not like, going to walk around with a camera.
I'm the newbie.
I'm like, why not?
I'm the newbie trialist guy who's here on loan to help out as a third string keeper. And Josh wants me to videotape it like I'm Lionel Messi coming into Atlanta for a week, you know, or Ronaldo.
I still think he should have. And honestly, I don't think Ronaldo's quite as charming as you once you get to know both your personalities.
It would have been cool if I did.
It would have been cool,
we
right?
We can do it here.
To be able, for sure. But so, like, looking backwards at it.
I show up and they sent me down. I got my own locker room in the first team locker room. And if anyone knows soccer, I'm around, you know, Darlington Nagby, Greg Garza, Chris McCann, Michael Parkhurst, you know.
Because they're now your teammates.
These guys are like guys that I grew up watching on TV with the national team, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unbelievable. And we go out that first training session and I can't hold a ball. I can't hold the ball. I'm getting scored on. We do the small-sided 5 versus 5 with the goals close together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just getting smashed. And it's, I swear I make this joke, it's like they pull the guys aside when they get drafted. But when you go pro and they're like, hey, come here. This is actually how you're supposed to kick the ball. And it's like they taught them a whole new technique on like how to dip the ball and how to curve the ball and how to kick it 90 miles an hour. And I swear some guy, some little Jiminy Cricket motherfucker pulled them aside and was like, no.
Magic dust
like,
on
you them. Know how you've been playing your whole life? This is how you're going to kick the ball now to make it harder for goalkeepers.
Yeah.
And dude, it was incredible. And they kept me there for 5 weeks and I learned so much about myself.
Was there a very, very clear difference in clearest, level, like
clear
super,
day.
Like I understand why these people are who they are.
Playing for the youth national team growing up until U18s and playing overseas, you know, with Everton and West Ham at the youth level and Middlesbrough. You know, I played in Italy and Brazil, and there is nothing to that first team, you know, international level, that profession. Like the MLS has come a long way, and a lot of these guys aren't even from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
From, you know,
yeah, we started importing them like 10 years ago.
Venezuela, Honduras, yeah. Costa Rica, you know.
15 years ago, we were Germany. Like the laughing stock of like international football.
And now it's crazy.
And now
these guys
gotten a lot
they
better,
were
yeah.
unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I was blown away by the level of play, and I had never seen anything like that. And by the fifth week, by that first day of training on the fifth week on Monday, like I was there. I was competing,
mm-hmm.
and I was good, and I was, you know, working hard, but I was also successful in training, and I was doing things that I wasn't doing 5 weeks before I got there. And that's just because I went into that environment. I kept my head down, and I just did what they needed me
to. I remember
to do.
Talking to you when you were in Atlanta, and you were like, honestly, like, I have a lot of shit showing up in my head, like, guys liking me, how do I play this, like, what's the right, like, angle to take? And you're like, but honestly, like, at the end of the day, you're like, I'm just gonna fucking bust my ass and keep my head down. And like, I like the wisdom in it, because it's like, you don't control it anyway. You know what I mean? Like, you do everything right, you do everything wrong, like, they're gonna like you or they're gonna not like you. You can just control what you can control, and you just fucking hit it right between the eyes and like, step the fuck up. And we're like, I'm just gonna fucking kill myself here, and then the chips are gonna fall where they may. Which I'm like, anytime I've approached a situation like that, it's worked out or it hasn't, but it generally works out.
Yeah, and why should I?
So it's, you don't need to waste energy. You're not sweating what fucking, like, what the dynamic is going to be, or if he's going to ask you to stay, or if this is going to turn into a long-term contract.
And towards, or any, like, of that shit. Towards like week three and week four, like, my team out here in San Diego is winning, and I'm keeping in touch with my coaches, and it's like, what's the verdict here? Like, I'm talking to the injured goalkeeper and I'm asking him, like, hey man, like, when's your knee going to get better? When do you think you're going to be back? Like, you know, trying to find out for myself what's going on. And just when I get to the tippy top of my worrying, the coach pulls me aside and he says, hey, after you finish your recovery, gym, and lunch, come meet me in my office. And
you're like, I'm either getting a job offer or I'm getting whacked.
Yeah. And he calls me in and he says, you know, man, like, sits me across from the desk and he says, you know, you've done great. You've come a long way. He goes, I really think you have what it takes at this level. You have all the potential. You're young and athletic. And
okay, let's stop for a second. 8 months prior, you weren't sure if you were capable of playing for our local professional team or if it was worth even starting the training to put yourself in the position to find out.
Right.
From the coach of the number one team in the U.S. being like, yo, bro, you can play at this level.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's pretty fucking unbelievable. That's a dope-ass, like, chain of events. I remember I was like, every time I was talking to you, there was like another, like,
something
three
always
layers
happening
to the story. Yeah. I'm like, dude, holy fuck. Like, slow. Like, you're not going to stabilize at any rung. You're like, why? I'm just going to keep throttling as hard as I can. I'm like, all right, fuck it. Maybe this kid's better than I gave him credit for.
It just didn't work out at the end of the day with the amount of players they had on the roster and the budget with the salary cap.
And in fairness, you came on to replace an injured goalkeeper.
It was never really a tryout. I was on a loan there to help out. And when the guy's back from injury, they were going to send me back.
Mm-hmm.
And he
but
said,
you got to fucking play and you held your own.
Yeah, man. And I had a great time. And you know, thank Atlanta for allowing me to be there and play with them and be in that environment for the experiences and all the players. Just everything.
Are they cool guys?
Incredible.
They're all
great guys. I mean, granted, you know, the Spanish guys stuck to themselves because they don't speak English.
And that's a good reason.
And, you know, I speak a little bit of Spanish, so I could kind of talk to them. But, like, you know, they do their own thing, and I bet it's like that at any team.
You know what?
You know?
If your Newcastle accent is any indication, I think I would probably, like, vote on behalf of the Spaniards.
Yeah. So I had a great time, and, you know, I flew back out Saturday morning, and my coach said, you know, if they can get you back out here on Saturday – we have a game against
this coach, San Diego.
My coach here, San Diego, said if they can get you back out here on Saturday, we'd love to have you on the roster for the game this tonight or that night.
This is life just like bending it over and being like, all right, Marius, we're ready for you.
So I hopped on.
Your job's over in Atlanta, and you just walk back on to the San Diego team.
Yeah, 8 a.m. flight, and got in, had lunch, went to the locker room, warmed up, was on the bench, and we won 5-1, and now we're sitting in first place in our Southwest Division here in San Diego.
Does anybody else think this story is fucking nutty as shit? Like, this sounds like fairy tale-esque. So, ironically, I remember having spoken with you about, like, why you had given up soccer. And I was more impressed with, like, you grabbing life by the balls, bull by the horns, whatever.
Bulls have balls and horns.
Bulls, but I didn't want to say you grabbed the bull by the balls because that's just hazardous and ill-advised.
Right, that is.
You know? But I remember we were, like, literally waiting. It was, like, fucking, like, a three-hour wait or something to tee off. And I remember, like, talking with you, and you were talking to me about, like, prior to even the soccer thing, how much you had turned your life around because you had just kind of lost focus and like you were partying too much or something. Like, I don't even know exactly what you were doing or what changed in your world, but like, I remember you were like not taking life seriously. And then success is just when opportunity meets preparation, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you had some really dope opportunities either presented or that you created for yourself recently But the reason you've had success with them is because of how much internal fucking work you've done and how much shit you just like screwed your head on differently. And we're like, yo, I need to start like hitting life a whole lot harder, even to get to the point of being able to do any of this stuff. Like, I don't think, and I didn't know you back then. My guess is your talent was never a question for you.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
So tell me like a little bit, like how was it going back to Atlanta? Cause that's where you're from, right?
Yeah. That's, and that was another crazy thing is that I got to go back and be in that environment.
Cause know? When you first told me, I'm like, oh, you're going home. And you're like, no, I'm going to play fucking professional soccer. I'm like, in Atlanta? Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah. And you like caught me up to speed again. Cause we hadn't talked for like 25 minutes. So of course there was like three more developments I hadn't been able to hear.
It's been a long journey. Like even to the point that I was at, in, you know, May of last year, August, when I started playing again, you know, before the process of getting to California, I was the number three goalkeeper in the nation and like number 20 overall in high school in the class of 2014.
You graduated in 2014?
Yeah.
Holy fuck, I feel old. Does that make anybody else feel old right now? Anyway, I digress. I graduated in 2004.
Yeah, we're 10 years apart. Almost exactly.
Steph is my assistant. She's 2014 also.
Shout out class of 14.
And you graduated in Atlanta or here in San Diego?
In Atlanta.
And you graduated from Poway, right? Dude, yeah. So she graduated high school like 5 minutes from where I live now, 10 minutes from where I live now. All right, I digress. So yeah, going back to Atlanta, or you, what happened? You got off track or like what?
I come out of high school as a senior.
Yeah, yeah. You were like prime spot doing fucking
huge recruit. I go to North Carolina State. We had the number two or three recruiting class in the nation.
Yeah.
Playing in the ACC, Atlantic Coastal Conference.
Got it.
Best conference, arguably, for soccer. It's like the SEC of football or whatever, you know. So
it's not the Security and Exchange Commission, I assure you.
Southeastern Conference.
There you go.
Go Dogs. So, yeah, I get to college. I get there early, workouts, whatever. And, you know, I'm now schizophrenic, basically.
How so?
Because in one part of my life, I'm this soccer player.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the other part of my life, I'm just like
an animal.
An animal. And just, I just want to be a normal kid so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to like.
How old are you? 17? 18?
18.
Okay.
And I just want to know what it feels like to get done with school and not have to go to a practice or listen to someone tell you what to work out or go to this study hall and do that. And like, granted, that's what I signed up for, being a soccer player. Like,
right. It came too easy and too fast for you to be able to appreciate it.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that the things that I was doing, like, they required sacrifice. And, and like, shout out to all you guys who played 4 years in college. I played one. Like, it's tough. It's a tough life. You wake up early, you work out, then you go to class, and then you practice in the afternoon, and then you go to study hall, and it's your whole life, you know?
There's not a lot of room for like, yay, I'm experiencing my freedom for the first time.
You know, being out of the house and living on your own and making decisions and, you know, getting a job or whatever. It was like, I didn't like soccer as much as I liked being a college student. And that got in the way of my goals and my lifelong dream to be a pro. Mm-hmm. And so I basically partied my way off of that team. And in preseason, I wasn't in that good of shape because I was just partying all the time. Mm-hmm. And I lost the starting spot. And I sat the bench the whole year. I redshirted. And I partied my way off of the team. And, you know, I ended up transferring because I didn't want to sit on the bench. And I was too good. And this wasn't for me. And, you know, my whole plan to play 1 year in college and go pro is now out the window. Now I got to find a new team that I can be the man at. So I transferred to College of Charleston in South Carolina, a smaller school with still a great soccer program. They've been in the, you know, NCAA tournament, and they have had a coach there, Ralph Lundy, who's been there for 20 plus years, who's produced tons of professional players. So I go there, and, you know, I'm expecting for them to, you know, like
make roll out the red carpet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, we kind of heard some things, you know, and, you know, we're willing to give you a shot. I got another scholarship, thankfully. And
so were you just unfocused, or were you like being a problem child, or what?
I was, dude, I mean, I always like, I just didn't want to play soccer as much as I wanted to party and be a college kid.
Got it.
And I was like trying to find ways to pledge and rush a fraternity and also play on an NCAA Division I soccer team. And everyone's looking at me like,
you're
you can't do both.
Yeah.
You know, they're paying your tuition to play a sport.
Right.
Like, you can't be in a fraternity at the same time.
Yeah.
It just started to veer away from that process again at the new school. And I fell into the same habits and the same routines that I did at the last one. And eventually partied my way off of that team too. And so here I find myself now in April of 2015, you know, almost 2 years, 2.5 years until I started playing again last fall. And
you're teamless, you're schoolless.
No one's paying my tuition because I'm not playing a sport.
Uh-huh.
My parents don't want to help me out anymore because
you're squandering opportunities.
You know, my dad was, you know, sports, sports, sports. My mom was school, 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 and I wasn't doing either of the things that they liked anymore.
Yeah.
And so now I kind of find myself homeless almost because I was living in the dorms.
Mm-hmm.
And the dorms are like, well, you got to leave when school's over. Mm-hmm. So I would couch it from friend group to friend group and stay with these buddies or sleep in, you know, my girlfriend's parents' house. And then, you know, and I just got a job at some pizza restaurant down the street in downtown Charleston. And I cut pizzas for 3 months and didn't work out, didn't play, nothing. And then I, you know, graduated to a better job at a nicer restaurant, saved up some money, bought my first apartment, bought my first car on my own. And like, I started to have somewhat of a life, you know, and like, wasn't going to school, but you know, I would walk on campus every day because I lived near campus, and I would see the guys in the soccer team wearing their gear and walking to class, and you know, I'd wave to them and they would wave back, and then it just, I wasn't part of that team environment anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always wanted to be my own person, and not, I always felt like I needed to be a part of something, and that, you know, I was like a, Kendrick Lamar says, an intra extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I liked being alone, but I hated being by myself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just totally. This, you know, it felt like
I know the feeling.
I didn't fit in with them, but like, I wanted to be alone at the same time, and I felt sorry for myself. So now I'm on my own, and I'm working a job and paying bills. And
how was it once you were there? Lonely?
It was fun at first. Like, I really had fun. Like, this girl I was dating, we were having fun, and like, she was in school, and I kind of started to get this like, I'm taking care of us, because like, I was like 19 years old, working a full time job, paying a car payment and a house payment, gas and water and utilities.
You felt like a man, yeah.
And a phone bill.
Supporting yourself, yeah.
Yeah, and her at the time. And and everyone else is just a college kid. So I get into that lifestyle and the restaurants, and I'm partying, and it's just like, I just lose track of everything I ever worked for, which was all based around soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And a year goes by. I'm still doing the same thing now. It's, you know, the summer approaching 2016, and I'm still doing the same thing. And I'm just not playing at all, not working out, not doing anything. My lease is up at the end of July, and I call my parents, and I'm like, look, like, I'm not happy here. Like, I'm partying too much. I'm not happy with my life. You know, I want to move home and play soccer again. And that was kind of like a short attempt
at what you just did.
About what I just did, because I was still in so much fear and I had nothing guiding me. And I moved back to Atlanta in August of 2016 and kind of tried to turn my life around. And, you know, I stopped drinking for a little bit and I stopped partying. And I kind of like distanced myself from that group of people that I was hanging out with in that college environment. And, you know, I got a gym membership.
And you don't drink now, at least during season.
No,
right?
I don't drink during the season now because, which
you're,
is.
No, you treat it like a fucking job.
I mean,
now,
it's like, you know, if that held me back before, I'm going to do everything I can to make me strive further now.
Mm-hmm. I stopped drinking like, I don't know, like 8 months ago now.
Yeah.
And I loved the drinking. And it wasn't even because I was like, wrecking cars or fucking up my life.
Yeah.
Like, I still have like the businesses and I'm in physically okay
better.
Shape and
I mean,
whatever. But like, there was a certain, like when I started to do a lot more speaking, I knew that I needed that little like anchor or that crush, mm-hmm. like to be gone mm-hmm. from my psyche, because I think when you stop like drinking or doing drugs or whatever, and honestly, like I'm not even against them principally, but just for me, like there's an increased level of clarity that you get when you're just like, you allow yourself to feel everything that you feel. Like, yeah, you have to like level your shit up emotionally.
Everyone, if anyone's ever been in a college environment, I'm sure most of the listeners have been to a party before.
Oh, I was a goddamn animal in college. I was like,
how do you expect to be a professional anything?
Anything, yeah, for sure. And I was never bad. I was fine in college.
Tuesdays
like,
were Saturdays and totally. Wednesdays were Fridays. They were all the same.
Right.
So I got out of that environment. I made a conscious decision to get out of that environment. And I told my parents, like, look, like, I haven't lived with you guys and we haven't been on the best terms for the last 2 years, but like, I need a little bit of help from you right now. And so I moved in with them and I made a really, really, really half-ass attempt.
I like the self-awareness.
About trying to play soccer again. I went and played, you know, pickup soccer with the local Hispanic crowd in Georgia. And I would, you know, go to the gym and do a half-ass workout and end up just doing bicep curls.
No doubt.
Yeah, and it just didn't feel right. And I still, even being in Atlanta with everyone being in college and no one really, you know, there to party with, it just didn't feel right being there. So I one of my buddies and I, my buddy Fat Jake,
I want to meet Fat Jake. Is he a San Diegan?
Yeah.
I want to say what's
up. He lives in Leucadia. He and I, like, had some mutual friends. It's a long story, but we had some mutual friends and we decided to move to Oceanside. Mm-hmm. And we just literally got plane tickets and flew out here and got an apartment
from
Georgia.
Really?
And I was like, dude, I don't know what else to do. Like, I need to get – and my mom, shout out NorCal, she's from Santa Rosa.
Okay.
And my parents lived in Los Gatos. And
funny, my old CFO is from Los Gatos. Liz is from Danville, not far away.
Yeah, yeah. And so all my cousins and family, shout out my family, they live in Northern California.
Very cool. Okay.
And so my mom's like, well, you know, San Diego's nice. Like, she went to UCLA, okay, and so she knows the area. And I have an aunt that UCLA.
I'm kidding, fucker. Just teasing.
Go Bruins. But she's like, yeah. And so they were supportive, and they got me a ticket out here, and I just got that job at that restaurant and started running, and you know, met
and that's where we started our story.
Met some people, but it wasn't like, it was a little bit more than that. Like, I went to like a Christian kind of like high school, you know, I've always had some sort of concept of God in my life.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was never really religious, or my mom never like really pushed me or anything. I went to Sunday school maybe once
mm-hmm.
growing up, but it was just like, I know like something out there has got to be more powerful than you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And
or at least more powerful than you.
Yeah. I mean, you're pretty powerful. it's just like,
anybody.
The things I was doing, I just felt like I wasn't meant to do that for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt myself going downhill, and I was under-succeeding what I thought my potential was. And
because I met you, you were a totally fucking appropriate, like, funny. I think the first time I ever met you, I gave you a ride in the vet. It was, like, pretty new at
the
time.
Yeah, you picked me up.
I picked you up, and we were, like, within, like, 2 minutes, like, we didn't know each other for shit. Within, like 5 minutes, I'm like, hey, you like Biggie? And we, like, kind of bump it.
We freestyled.
We did, yeah. We fucking busted, yeah. Marius and I were freestyling within like 10 minutes of like me picking him up from his house on the way to this golf tournament. That's really funny. Yeah, that was dope.
I just,
if we had more time, I'd go there. But you were going to God, and I went to Biggie, and I feel like that's a deep meeting. He's up there. He's kicking it with God, fucking freestyling right now.
God's got God spits bars.
I feel like he's more of the beatboxer. I don't, like, even if you're God,
he just lays the tracks.
Yeah, I don't know if you
can. He's Metro Boomin.
Like, if you were around Biggie, would you be rapping, or would you be fucking like, just be like,
God created him to rap.
Yeah, touche.
I wonder what kind of beats he's got laying up there for us.
Probably some.
I wonder what he's gonna send Drake next. You know, I'm just waiting for God to send Drake some new Grammy award. We need some Grammys. Anyway, we just got so sidetracked, but it's just like, I just know that there is something out there greater than me. And like, I can't.
How much did your faith play a role in like not half-assing it, not cowering and not being a pussy, and actually like stepping up and going for it, like full fucking surrender? Because I preach all the time about like surrendering to like your dream, your passion, the plan,
really was,
whatever the fuck it is.
The geographical change for me was huge. It was getting, not only getting out of South Carolina, but getting away from my parents, you know, like getting away from support. I needed to be on my own again. And
I know that feeling.
A completely different environment. And the West Coast was as far as I was going to get in the United States. And, you know, they were supportive from afar, like from a loving standpoint.
Right. I
but
get
like,
it.
I hadn't had,
they weren't feeding you.
No, I hadn't had a passion of my own in a while. I hadn't had anything to strive for, goals based, short or long term. I was merely coasting and getting by. And there was something that I wasn't seeking, and cause I was only seeking for myself. And I met some people out here, and I got involved with like a group at a church thing, and like just met some people and kind of just was willing to like try a new perspective. And it kind of like just opened a whole new door to me. Like, and it took so much stress and anxiety off of me that it's like, at the end of the day, like I just try to do the right thing, you know, tell the truth, be honest with others about how I feel, and like be a good person. Because like, what else am I doing here on this earth if I'm trying to steal your stuff or screw you over? If we're all good people to each other, then like it'll minimize the shitty things we see on the news, and you know, and like all these crazy shootings and yeah, that's just like,
I don't think you would be getting the gifts, which is the way I view it. I'm not really that touchy on the God word, you know what I mean? Or like faith, like those things don't weird me out because I don't really mean them in a religious sense.
Yeah.
I grew up like bar mitzvah and then a Jewish high school and blah, blah, blah. I didn't have a strong connection with it as an adult. And then after having reconnected and like, just like feel like I am sitting comfortably in the eye of the storm of my life, like way the fuck more than I was 5 years ago. It's the reason I like don't dress in a suit and tie every day. And I'm like Joshua now, and I'm not Mr. Nussbaum. And like, I've cozied into my power a lot more than trying to like communicate to everybody why I am as important as I am. It makes life fucking easier to spend energy one track minded on what you're trying to create, and also knowing that you're doing good by those around you and that you're good with you when you look in the mirror, as opposed to like keeping track of your lies and like making sure that you always look impressive when you don't feel that way. Yeah, like if I'm insecure, I like in a situation, I'll be like, I don't feel secure right now. Like I feel fucking self-conscious. Like
it was like the California mantra just hit me, you know, like,
which is what, or what's
it was
the
just
vibe?
Like,
what is the,
it was just chill. Like yeah. I moved here and it was just like, it was a breath of fresh air, literally. And
literally,
I
literally see the ocean from here, like from the office. You
I didn't. Yeah. It's beautiful.
I bet you that's a fucking huge upgrade from where you were in Georgia, huh?
Oh yeah. Cow pastures and long roads. Like you were saying, like I stopped caring about like how I thought I needed to make you think, or like,
totally.
Yeah. I needed to dress a certain way to fit in with this group.
That shit's fucking exhausting.
I needed to act a certain way or say a certain thing. And I just stopped caring when I moved here. I just like, nobody here knows me. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows my past. I'm just going to create a new life for myself and just fucking crush it. And after I created that new life and was working those two jobs, I hit another roadblock, which I think we all do in life. And we don't know when they're going to come, but something out there is putting them there. And my friend's like, do you want to come to Chicago? And I was like, sure. And so I went there, and that was the start of where I'm at now. And I had no idea that I was going to go to Chicago and come back with the drive to want to play pro. I had no idea that 7 weeks ago I was going to get a phone call at the end of the week saying, do you want to come play for Atlanta United? You know, and now at the end of my season in June or July, like I have no idea what's going to happen after that. You know, I
hear you loud and clear, Marius.
I just know, like, I just got to do what's best for me and, like, do the right thing on the way there, and everything will get taken care of.
And work your ass off in the process. But I admire, like, the maturation. You're a whole fucking hell of a lot further than I was in a lot of ways emotionally when I was 22 years old. Mm-hmm. Actually, 22 was my complete, like, turning point in life because it's when I had a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was a lot of like growing up real fast, a lot of like lack of support around me. There was no safety net where you just have to then start producing or accept a shitty life. That being said, I want to take a second to fucking acknowledge you that just in the past 10 months of like golfing and looking at you and listening to you in the parking lot, it was like after we had finished golfing actually, and you're like, I'm thinking about going for it. Like I want to go for it. Knowing you wanted to and knowing you were going to because you're an alpha male studly motherfucker, I could empathize with the feeling of the lack of security and like not sure if you wanted to where the fuck you are now. I'm proud of how much fucking ground you've covered as a friend. And I'm also just fucking proud to like know you and be talking to you on a weekly or biweekly fucking basis-ish because you've done incredible for yourself. And I think that, first of all, fucking thank you for coming by and like telling that story, because I feel like it's not something you can even write out.
Yeah,
it's like fucking like Cinderella to the maximum of like, you were proud to like be just supporting yourself, and now you're a professional athlete 10 months later having played with the best around.
Mm-hmm.
So you're the man. 2 seconds, I want you to tell my listeners, followers, subscribers, how they can connect with you if they want more Marius in their life, which, by the way, all of you motherfuckers should. So Instagram, email, don't give out your cell phone. I've made that mistake before. Like, where do people go to find you if they want more? We're talking in this
hopefully
way.
You can put some sort of link, because I have a very foreign name. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but if
you'll
anyone...
You'll get all the links. Everything will be backlinked.
Pen and, paper people out there. It's MariusHeislitz1. That's my Instagram handle. My Facebook is, if you want to be friends, I have plenty of room for more.
I like your moves.
It's just my first and last name that I said. And then I'm not a big fan of Twitter, but if you want to add me on Twitter, I made it a long time ago. It's Young Slitz, part of my last name, 18. That was my freestyle rapping name growing up.
It's actually not bad. We busted some fucking for two white boys in a Corvette. We held that down. I'll call him on the phone one time and I'll record it. If you want to hear Marius and I bust a freestyle.
Young Slitz.
I apologize. That's totally my
bad.
You
can be Young Noose.
If you want to hear Young Noose and Young Slitz bust a flow, DM him.
Spit bars.
Guys, thank you for tuning in.
It's been a blast.
Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. When it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them, and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon. Just watch me now. Just watch me now.